pledge to the Bible. He linked together two verses from Scripture creating the pledge. Psalm 119, verse 11, which says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And Psalm 119, verse 105, which says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Homer Grice and his wife Ethel led their Georgia congregation to reach their community by offering a summer program they called the Everyday Bible School. It ran for 4 weeks. In 1924, the leaders of the Baptist Sunday School Board, now known as Lifeway Christian Resources, asked Pastor Grice to move to Nashville to begin educating churches on the benefits and practices of Vacation Bible School. At that time, Vacation Bible School was primarily a ministry of inner city churches in New York, Philadelphia, and Boston. Few churches in the southern and western positions of the United States had ever heard of VBS. Now every summer, many kids learn the importance of studying the Bible and saying the pledge to the Bible through VBS. This is the pledge that Homer Grice created. "I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God." To pledge means to solemnly promise. Allegiance means loyalty. So this is a solemn promise of loyalty to the Bible. Why promise loyalty to the Bible? I'm learning that it is because the Bible is where we discover what God desires, and His word can't and won't affect our lives unless we read and meditate on it regularly. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I'm also learning that God will examine what kind of workers we have been for Him. We should build our lives on His word and build His word into our lives. The word alone tells us how to live for Him and serve Him. Steady and careful study of God's word is absolutely necessary for the believer. Otherwise, we will be pacified into neglecting God and our true purpose. Now, would you please stand up and say it with me? "I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God."
Good morning. My name is Bray, and I'm going to be talking about serving. If you don't know what serving means, it means doing something nice for other people, for God, and the worship of God. Jacob in the Bible worked for 14 years to marry Rachel, but got tricked into marrying Leah. If you want to serve God, then do it. If you're not sure how to, then you can ask for help. You can put offering in the church to help with the church. In Sunday school, we have been serving too. We planted flowers in the front in the church and brought snacks. And thank you for bringing snacks too. Ephesians 6:7 says, "Serve heartily as if you were serving the Lord, not men." To me, it means serving with your whole heart, and do not lack, because it means a lot to people when you help them. If you haven't done anything nice for anybody this week, then do it. Mark 10:45 says, "More stuff we did was, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom." You should start serving because it helps other people and it helps with them. You can make them happy by doing it. And the more stuff we have been doing is, we're doing this kids' sermon and other stuff too. Galatians 5:13 says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature. Rather serve to one another in love." You should start serving if you haven't. Thank you for listening.
Hi, my name is Caleb, and I will be talking about tithing. I'm going to read three verses. Leviticus 27,
30 and 32.
And that all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, of whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. Mark 12:41-44. Now Jesus sat opposite of the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow threw in too much, which makes a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Matthew 6:3-4. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. I'm learning that tithing is giving 10% of what we have to God. The first reason we tithe is we tithe because God tells us to, and the second reason is because we understand God has given us everything we have, so we tithe to say thank you.
That went quick. So now we're going to have the offering, and the kids are going to come up and get the baskets that are in front. Araya,
you're going to start with the
lady. We did not practice because we were never all together to come up and practice. So it's been in bits and pieces, and bear with us.
I will be teaching us about elders and deacons. And if we would please open our Bibles to Titus 1:6-9. An elder must not be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overthinking, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. This is saying that elders should not do wrong. They must teach their children discipline, for they do not know what's wrong. And last, an elder must not be blameless, for he is a sinner just like the rest of us. Now, as we move on to another verse, 1 Peter 5:1-5, to elders among you, I appeal you as a fellow elder, as a witness of Christ, suffering and one who also share in the glory to be revealed, be shepherd of God's flock that is under your care, serving as an overseer, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples But being examples to the flock, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, this is talking about how we are all sheep. An elder is a leader sheep, for he must lead us to God. God is our shepherd. The elder can take this role, not because of greed, but because he is willing to. This is saying that for being a elder, you have to be willing to be an elder, not because of like money, not because of greed, not because of whatever somebody like told you to do it, but because you are willing to do it and you want to do it. Because God opposes the proud, clothe yourself in humility and be humble. This was a confusing thing for when I was reading this, but what it's saying is we all make mistakes. We're all sinners. The elders are sinners. The deacons are sinners. We're all sinners. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be the nicest person on this earth, and you can still be a sinner. Now, as we move on to deacons, we can move to 1 Timothy 3, 8 and 9. Deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear consequence. So, like elders, deacons follow the same rules. But deacons are to serve as elders do. They have the same roles, or they have the same rules, so like, don't be indulging in much wine, don't give in to drunkenness, don't pursue dishonest gain, don't be greedy, and the other side is like, don't pursue dishonest gain. Deacons will keep the truth in their hearts and give and tell others about Jesus, for as elders also do the same thing. Now, as we move a bit down to 1 Timothy 11 through 13, here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will live with him. This is talking about how he died on the cross so we could live with him up in heaven. If we endure, we will also reign with him. This is saying if we went and died on the cross like he did, we will reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. This is saying if we have faith in him, he will have faith in us. And if we don't have faith in him, he won't have faith in us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. He cannot disown himself, for Jesus and God are Father and Son, and for they, if God disowned himself, then there's not a lot to go around. And, yeah, this is also reading this, I can read this all day, over and over. This is one of my favorite verses, 11 through 13, for all of everything. And that was elders and deacons.
Hi, I'm Kaylee, and I am going to be introducing our individual elders. If you remember anything of what Evan just said, the scriptures were Titus 1, 6 through 9, and 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. And our own elders here are Butch Brunk, Bill Harvey, and Terry Miller, who is also Pastor Terry here. So, I'll start with Butch. Butch is one of our amazing elders who loves this church family as his own. He is married to Mary, and they have three sons named Ben, Kyle, and Nathan, who's up there. And they have four grandchildren named Liam, Willow, Jacob, and Judah, who all make appearances here often. Butch works for Pepsi, as he has for a while. He also has an amazing talent for singing, but does not share it very often. And you're lucky if you get to hear it, which I have, and I love it. This is hard on his sleeve, but that is not a bad thing at all. Our next one is Bill. He also is another elder of ours. He leads the men's Bible study here and dedicates his time not only to this church, but some others sometimes as well, but mostly this one, because I think this one's his favorite. He's married to Edie, and they have 3 children, 2 sons and a daughter. And they have 9 grandchildren, 5 granddaughters and 4 grandsons, and another grandson in heaven. Bill also used to work at Pepsi, but now he strikes parking lots. And Bill always seems to be happy and positive, which I've always found very uplifting to me. Yeah, and our last one is Terry Miller, also known as Pastor Terry, who has not only served here now, but has in the past. He once said his calling was to be an intern pastor, helping spread the word of God everywhere he was called to go, so not just specifically one place, but wherever God calls him. Terry is married to Diana, and they have 3 children, and some grandchildren as well. And Pastor Terry also does beautiful woodworking. I was gifted a box of his once for Christmas, and I still use it to this day. And he loves our church very, very much. So this is what our kids came up with as to what the elders do in the church or who they are. So they are kind. Lead men's Bible study, which is very specific to Bill. They have meetings, they pray, they read Bibles, do lead singing stuff. They're on the pastor committee, which is helping us find a permanent new pastor. They teach others about Jesus. They lead fellowship, and they oversee our missions, which I wish I had the names of, but I don't. Our elders do a lot for us, and we're so thankful for them. So if I could have our elders come up, Butch, Bill, and Terry. Now my sister is coming up to talk about our deacons.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jada. I'm Kaylee's sister and also one of Sandy's 8 grandchildren. I'm going to be here to talk about our deacons, which are another important attribute to our church because, you know, without them, where would our church be? So we have 3 deacons. We have Mr. Tom Lawrence, Mr. Dan Unwin, and Mr. Nathan Black. So Mr. Tom Lawrence is an electrician, and he has 2 kids. He's married to Miss Brenda, who is our amazing Sunday school teacher. Mr. Dan Owen, even though he is not here, we will still talk about him. He has 2 daughters and a tailor for flowers and gowns in Brattleboro, which I did something for as a little girl, which I truly enjoyed. And last but not least, Mr. Nathan Brunk is my youth pastor, and he's also the treasurer here. He has 2 sons, which are Jacob and Judah, and then he's married to Megan, who leads worship here and is also part of our Sunday school. She helps out a lot. He really enjoys his job with the state, as he tells us all the time. He told us one night at youth group, work for the state, you get paid to do nothing. Last but not least, another important part of our church is our bookkeeper, who is also my grandmother. Her name is Sandy Morey. She does a lot for our church. She has 3 daughters and 8 grandchildren. She takes part in our women's Bible study and our ladies' make trip. She works hand in hand with our deacons and our treasurer. So when we were planning this whole event, we asked the kids, what do the deacons do? What do our bookkeepers do? So they said, takes care of the church, fixes toilets, fixes carpets, fixes roof, calls others to fix things, technical support, handing out bulletins, meetings, offering, pastor committee, and they make the budget. So they all said about the deacons. I mean, they were also all asked to talk to a few of you guys, all the deacons, which they were a little nervous about. And I had to call Mimi to ask about the deacons because I don't talk to people like I should. What they said about our bookkeeper, they said she makes notes to have things fixed. She oversees clean church. She counts money. She teaches women's study. She's our bookkeeper. She pays bills. She does the mail. She keeps records. And she goes to the deacon's meeting. So after a few weeks, I think they have a pretty decent understanding of what our deacons and bookkeepers do here at our church. And they are incredible, incredible people, each one of them. They greet you with a smile in the morning, with a bulletin. You know, they really just make Sunday an awesome experience because you can go in and you know that everybody here loves you and you can come and really feel safe because everybody here believes the same thing you do. And as a high schooler in Brattleboro, it's really challenging because you have all these people that don't agree with you in your ears all the time. And when you come here, it's incredible because everybody here believes in Holy God. And it's just such a comfort for all of you, not just our deacons. So we have gifts for our deacons as well. So if you guys would like to come forward so we can give you our gifts, that would be great. And Grandma Sandy too, because that's her. The Sunday School wants to give a big thank you. Wants to give a big thank you to a very important person to us. Whenever we need help of any kind, this person is always willing and available. Not only Sunday School, but also youth group. Her help at the church extends to cleaning, leading the singing each week, organizing and creating Vacation Bible School, and so many church activities. She's behind the monthly lunches we all enjoy. She's a big motivator in the Christmas parties, harvest festivals, devotions at the ladies' retreat, and so much more. She does all these things while working full-time, raises her two sons, Jacob and Judah, with her husband, Nate, and participates in a small group Bible study each week. She does all these things with her beautiful smile and servant heart. Megan Brunk, we thank you. Please come up.
So hopefully you guys remember them.
No.
Jesus called some special men, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Philip, and Bartholomew, they all followed him.
That's the wrong tune.
Oh,
no. Jesus called some special men,
Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Philip, and Bartholomew, and they all followed him. Jesus called some special men, Thomas, Matthew, Thaddeus, Simon, James, and Judas, and they all followed him. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, Thaddeus, Simon, James, and Judas. Jesus called them one by one, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Next came Philip, Thomas, too, Matthew, and Bartholomew. James, the one they called the less, Simon, also Thaddeus, 12th apostle Judas made, Jesus was by him betrayed.
Thank you.
They have a deficit. I can't sing for beans, and they follow me. So they do great when I don't sing. Let's see, Caleb's going to come on up and pray, and then we're going to ask you to join us in our final song. The kids are going to have something to hand out to you as you leave, so please make sure and connect with one of them. They have also been given an assignment. When they go downstairs for snacks, they're supposed to talk to three different people that they are not related to. It'll be easier for some of them.
Please join me in our closing prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this time we had this morning to worship together in song and scripture. We ask you for a blessing for all of us this week. Amen. Please open your hymnals to song number 580, Jesus Loves the Little Children.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious.
Jesus loves the world.